My guest at this time is Ohio Republican Congressman Bill Johnson. He represents the Buckeye State's 6th Congressional District. He's joined us many times to talk about his concerns over the Obama administration's approach to energy, as well as regulation, and how that's impacting the economy in his district and elsewhere around the country. We want to get his insights on a House of Representatives passed energy bill last Thursday. Kind of got swallowed up with all the attention to Attorney General Eric Holder, potential contempt of Congress resolution being adopted by the full House, and now, of course, a busy week at the Supreme Court. But energy is a critical issue, and we want to get some time in on this subject. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, thanks a lot, Greg. Good to be with you today.
What was the main thrust of the bill last week?
Well, it's to put America back to work. You know, the greatest potential for economic growth here in America can be found in America's natural resources and energy, domestic energy production. You know, you would think that the president would have gotten a wake-up call with last May's job numbers. We got 88.5 million people that have left the workforce that are no longer looking for a job. And yet the president continues to reject projects like the Keystone XL pipeline and other projects that that would put America back to work through domestic energy production.
Sir, let's talk briefly about the specifics in the bill. And one of them, of course, is aimed at greater domestic energy production. What are the specifics on getting that done?
Well, the you know, the bill contains 7 different pieces of legislation. We've got the BLM Live Internet Auctions Act, which takes us into the 21st century. It basically is eBay for leasing on federal lands. That's going to make it much easier for the Secretary of the Interior to conduct internet-based auctions for onshore leases. It overrides a 1970s law that required such leases to take place orally. So it basically moves us into current generation technology. Then you've got the Strategic Energy Production Act of 2012. Tapping the strategic petroleum reserves to increasing energy production on federal lands. In other words, if the president releases oil from the strategic petroleum reserves, then the president has to develop a plan to lease more federal lands for exploration and production. Then you've got the Gasoline Regulations Act, and that's going to pause the implementation of the Tier 3 fuel standards and the refinery new source performance standards and ozone standards until the interagency committee can conduct a cumulative analysis on EPA rules and actions that impact the price of gasoline and diesel fuels. Moving on down, you've got the Planning for American Energy Act. That would require the Secretary of the Interior to establish an all-of-the-above energy program for federal lands by reviewing the nation's energy needs and then establishing goals for federal lands to meet those needs. We've got two more. Providing Leasing Certainty for American Energy Act. That will require an annual acreage of leasing that makes available at least 25% of the lands open each year for which there is interest in the development. And in other words, there's gas and oil on those lands. And then number two, it sets firm timelines for the Secretary of the Interior to issue leases and adjudicate lease protests. And then you've got the streamlining, the permitting of American energy. You know, we've got a real log jam with permits today. The streamlining permitting of American energy would ensure a reliable permitting process so that we can move forward with domestic energy production. And then finally, we've got the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska Act. And this particular act will create new jobs and support current energy jobs in Alaska. It'll expand American energy production and lower energy costs by ensuring that oil and natural gas resources in the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska ensure those reserves are developed and transported in a timely and efficient manner. So, you know, it moves us closer, Greg, to what we've been saying all along, a real, no kidding, all of the above energy policy.
We're talking with Ohio Congressman Bill Johnson. And, sir, I think it was probably the review of the regulations that got the most frustration from the Democratic side of the aisle. Some of the left blogs that I was able to see basically had headlines to the effect of Republicans pass plan that will increase likelihood of lung cancer. So clearly the strong language is out here. How do you respond to those who say that your efforts to produce more energy and grow the economy is going to lead to lower standards of clean air and so forth?
Look, I am all for common sense regulations where public health and public safety are concerned. But some of the regulations by the EPA and the Department of the Interior just simply defy logic. They're based on scientifically and technically flawed data. They require compliance that in some cases can't even be done. Let's take, for example, we've got a required raw material in steel manufacturing called manganese ferroalloy. We've got two facilities in America that produce this material, one in Ohio and one in West Virginia. The EPA is about to release a rule, if they go forward, that will essentially require that those facilities put a dome over their facilities. This is economically infeasible. Again, it's based on scientifically and technically flawed data. And the companies have told us, look, we can't comply with this. We would have to shut our facilities down. You're not only talking about 500-plus jobs, but you're also talking about a national security implication, because then we would have to buy manganese ferroalloy from our competitors and maybe even some people that don't like us very much from places overseas. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous, and we've got to have steel manufacturing in America in order to go after our own national natural resources. So, I mean, you jump from one problem to the next when you're dealing with the EPA and the Department of the Interior, because they don't seem to have one hand talking to the other in terms of the implications of the regulations.
Congressman, for the most part, these types of bills have been passed in the House, have not even been considered in the Senate. Do you feel like you're applying more pressure this time, or are you pretty negative on whether this will make it to the upper chamber?
Well, I'll be honest with you. You know, the Senate has not acted thus far. They haven't passed a budget in nearly 3 years, Greg. I wish I could tell you that I had optimism that the Senate was going to go to work on these bills, but I can't account for the Senate. You know, I've said many, many times, if Harry Reid were in the military, he'd be sitting in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas right now, because he would have already been court-martialed for not doing his job. This is the most dysfunctional Senate that I can recall in American history. But, you know, here we've got legislation that would create 1 million jobs in industrial and manufacturing activities, you know, 600,000 direct jobs in oil and gas alone. I mean, when you look at the fact that up in North Dakota, where domestic energy production is thriving on private lands and the unemployment rate is 3%, you would think that the administration would want to replicate that across the country, but they just have their heads buried in the sand.
Congressman, we'll certainly be watching. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Greg, thank you so much. Appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. Ohio Republican Congressman Bill Johnson represents his state's 6th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.